Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kathy. This is
good morning.
Going to be airing, I believe, Monday, the July the 8th. So we're into July, and we're still in our series on Christ clutter and the calendar. And it's kind of interesting how God works it. As you know, it's interesting as we're trying to give some input on it here in the podcast. God always asks us, and I know he asks you too, is, well, are you believing what you're saying?
Right. And are you living it out?
Are you living it out? For us, a couple things we've actually talked about recently is that, we did our trip to France, with our leaders, and that was terrific. And we had lots of time, but it was, you're traveling and all that. And then we came home immediately into a fairly lengthy experience with graduation. It was graduation, then it's parties that we're joining him in for, he and other people, and then our family got together as we're working. Joshua was home from Baylor on his way to work at a internship at Lockheed, so we had a lot of time with him and process, and he brought two of his friends from Baylor.
That's so fun.
So that was fun. And it kind of reinforced, by the way, something that you've noticed is that that younger generation, if they're allowed to just pursue their true, pure heart, they have a real heart to receive truth.
Absolutely.
And they don't mind conversation, and they don't mind well, let's see what the Word has to say, and what God has to say, and they really grab onto it. Like, is that really possible? Yes, and they want to. And Joshua's, helping them, and we had a great time with them. But that was a week of every night being with them, and so it was good. But and we talked. Remember, we had a conversation that you brought up about, how do you handle the pace with your spouse?
Yes.
And Linda, she, as we're, everyone's getting ready to go, she says, Rich, I need some time. I need a little bit of, so do not schedule it, for me. And we need some time. And it's like, I can understand that. Actually it would be good for both of us. So, we took a weekend of really just complete downtime, where we didn't engage with anything. We just spent time together. We relaxed together, no agenda, did some fun things together, particularly, and this is something that we generally don't do, but we spent the whole day at home relaxing, cause we have such a, beautiful place to be anyway, that, we didn't do, we literally did nothing, and
that can be such a sweet gift though, right?
It was good. So that, as we look at Christ clutter in the calendar is a very dynamic piece of life that, it's not you set, here's what I'm always going to be like or do as things happen, like we had with the graduation and then Joshua brought his friends. And we took time there, so we didn't overdo it, but God said, okay, now you got to take a little bit of a Sabbath, a little bit of a break, take a rest. And resting is true. And this is something I've had to learn, because my definition of rest and Linda's definition of rest can be two different things. And what I've learned is resting is truly, kind of stopping everything you're involved in and don't get on the computer and don't get on emails and don't be in conversations is don't be active with your work, even your ministry, is just take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And let everything kind of resettle as you rest with God. And when, by the way, this is kind of cool that when we say rest or break, Linda and I have learned we actually go the opposite direction with our time with God. So we don't take a break from God.
Right.
We actually get into the
you
word.
You press in more.
We press in a little bit of the word more, but we do it in a very relaxed, beautiful way. And we have lots of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does this mean and how are you doing and what do you think God's saying here? And so we really got a element of rest, including something that I generally don't do because I don't need it much, is I literally can sleep nightly. It's between 4.5 and 6 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay for me. That's my pattern. And my energy is still very high. But when we took that break, particularly on that day where we did nothing, we both slept a lot.
Wow.
And it was interesting, like that, you know, Rich, you
some
need
refreshing
you,
there.
You
yeah.
need a, you need a refreshing too, you know. So we would just urge to people to seriously, if you haven't gone through it, go back over the first part of this and really review calendar and let God direct it because the neat thing that came out of it, you know, after we took this break and we had these rests and now we have to recalendar what we're doing. There's a joy to it. There's a refreshment to it. There's no weariness to it at all because God said, well, you needed a little bit of a Sabbath here. And so we took it. So I just urge everybody to look at it. Last time we were processing, now we're in the section of how do we release the burdens of the mind, because, and this is something that Linda and I could truly talk about, you know, when we took that break in the calendar, it wasn't that, well, we took a break in the calendar, but we're still heavy burdened and we're thinking and processing, you know, it was when you're free of burden, you're really at a place where you can relax, you know, and your mind doesn't go there and you have margin in your life, so when you are engaging, you're not occupied because your mind's stuck, you know. And we talked about we're going to walk through how do we release that. We set up the first one is which is going to be normal, average, and all the time is you're going to have conflict with other people,
right?
Because you're surrounded by self-centered people that.
And by the way, sometimes we are self-centered.
And we can join in that process. And and by the way, one of the indicators of that we've joined it, is that we are into the debate mode. And we're talking about solution, and we're debating, I want my solution, and the other person, which could be your spouse, by the way, they want their solution. And now you're debating the solution. And interesting enough, God said, all of that is foolishness because you're not going to get there to an answer. You're just going to create the conflict to be even deeper. You're going to wind up with division.
Right.
With division. By the way, that if you think of the simple, it's not simple, but couples that get married as believers and they wind up in acrimony, it's because of this aspect of their debating in the flesh. They haven't released the burden of it. They haven't let God resolve it. And they go and go and go till ultimately there's a division. And now I'm so angry at that person that, by the way, you married and you loved. I'm so angry at that person that I don't want to even spend any more time around them. And by the way, they decide, you know what? It'd be better for me to be with somebody else. And that's what causes divorce. So like 50-60% of Christian marriages are actually experiencing divorce because of this issue.
Right.
And by the way, it doesn't solve anything, interesting enough, because you still carry
right.
The things of the heart with you. So we set it up that the first thing is to go into that place of forgiveness as we've been forgiven. Christ forgave us at the cross. We deserved his wrath, but he said, I forgave you. You need to join me in that so that you're not requiring the other party to do anything per se for you to live in freedom.
Right.
And we can, and God can give us forgiveness. And by the way, forgiveness means I could be in the same room with them. Doesn't bother me. I could be on the phone with them. Doesn't bother me. I'm not plotting against them, and I'm not plotting to avoid them. Mm-hmm. So I'm just able to process. So now we're talking about if you've gone to that place and your heart's right with God, the next question is, well, how do I resolve mm-hmm. this relationship with a heart toward reconciliation?
Right.
And we'll talk about reconciliation of what it means. But basically, it's that is that our relationship returns back to a really healthy place, and anything that caused the conflict has been released. And that takes two parties.
Right.
And we set it up, remember, by Christ. He's forgiven everybody at the cross once and for all. But everybody is not reconciled. And the the reason is that it takes two parties. And the other party, we people, have to process the truth of what he did. He took away the requirement of perfection, but we have to receive that we need him, and that we are to receive him as our Lord and Savior as we admit that we need him. And then once we believe that, he enters into us, and now we have eternal life with him, and we're now called a believer. If we don't process that truth, we remain an unbeliever, and unbelievers are never reconciled with Christ, and they die eternally separated with him, living in hell. And he can't alter that. So it's not like I'm going to force you to. He said, my will is that you do. And I've given you the opportunity to do it. And so when you think of us forgiving somebody, what it's doing is saying, I'm giving that other party, I'm giving you the opportunity to process truth with me so that we can determine if we can get back to a healthy relationship. And if we can't, because you're not willing to, I can stand where Christ stands. I will allow you not to, but it's not going to trap me anymore.
Right.
And so that's what we're going to talk about. So as we look at, remember that the issue of reconciliation is always, it's really born out of a sense of anger of some kind because they've stepped over a line, they've hurt me, they're opposing me, something isn't right. They deserve my anger. So let's first of all deal with that. So go to Ephesians 4, 25 to 27, and then 29 to 32.
Sure. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
And then 29 to 32.
Nor give place to the devil. And 29 to 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah, and it's so Scripture, the Word of God is so beautiful, and it's so wonderful to receive it. You know, we're talking about this issue. He ends the conversation in verse 32. Just read that again, because he says, remember, it's based on this.
And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah. Forgive each other in the same way God forgave you, which was what? His nature.
Right.
They don't have to do anything. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We couldn't. He did it on his own nature. So he said, as Christ forgave you, you forgive them first. And then that allows you to be tenderhearted. So think of the two steps here is that you're engaged in a conflict and somebody's hurt you. And it says in there, be angry and do not sin. We'll talk about that in a second. But so they deserve your wrath. They really do. What they did was wrong. And by the way, God says, I don't want you to stuff that. Because the Christian community has kind of been told you should stuff it.
Right.
Just put up with it. Just allow them to keep doing it. Isn't that holy? And God said, actually, it's not.
Right.
It's okay that you're angry. It just, you have to process that anger. And he says, if you go to forgiveness, your heart will have a tenderness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the tenderness, it isn't, I'm accepting what they're doing.
Right.
But I have a willingness, desire, and capability to discuss with them with honor and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is saying, if you're going to process reconciliation, you have to be able to do it with a tenderness and a heart of respect and honor. And what that means then is when you do engage in mm-hmm. the conversation with this person that deserves your wrath, your anger isn't driving it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not what I call have a lot of energy, and you're hard coming against them. And basically what we do is say, you should, and you better, mm-hmm. and you have to, and you hurt me, and you got to admit it, and you're demanding because we have that energy. And he says, before you go talk to them, make sure that you can talk to them with honor and respect. And if you can't, he said, which I understand,
mm-hmm.
He says, don't pursue it. Go back to me.
Yes.
And let me work with you and I, because the forgiveness is a heart issue between God and me.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the other party. Because I'm going to talk to them, and I'm not going to sugarcoat the truth, but I'm not going to do it in a way that actually makes it worse, causes division.
Right.
And God says, that's okay. If you can't do it, that's okay. Come back, spend time with me first, process with me until you can. So like, for example, and this would be particularly helpful for a couple that's learning this, is that, you know, when we're married, unless we've learned this really well, we're pretty good at arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know how to do anything differently. And so he says, you got to practice this. And by the way, Psalm 4:4-5 says the same thing that this says, be angry and do not sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't talk with honor and respect, it says go back to your own room. It says your own bed, actually. Go back, mm-hmm. go back to your bedroom. And you and me, God speaking, let me get your heart right first. And it's okay. And when Linda and I were learning this at first, because I was very disrespectful. We didn't have a lot of acrimony, but basically I just persuaded her.
Yeah, and she would shut down.
And she would shut down because I could argue, I could out-argue her.
Mm-hmm.
And I could win the argument, and because I was so good at it, and I recognized I was good at it, I actually played a little game with, this is what you're saying to yourself. Mm-hmm. I know she's right. I know she's right, but I'm going to prove her not right because I can. And I did, you know, and so I was very disrespectful. I just got my way, and I would persuade her all the time. Well, as we started learning this, this is interesting. As we started learning this, learning to be respectful, which I started to do,
mm-hmm.
And actually I had to encourage her. No, you start speaking up. Right. Well, she learned how to do that. and because I wasn't, you know, my heart wasn't transformed yet fully. As she spoke up, which she should, and I wanted her to, and I encouraged her to, it also caused me to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would raise my voice, and she would raise her voice. And then we recognized, wait a minute, we're not learning this right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then we learned Psalm 4:5, four and five. And, what we would do, and we would say this, you know what, honey? And either one of us could say this. This is not going to go in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stop. Let's go separate, and mm-hmm. let's get our hearts right, and then come back.
Right.
And we would, when it first happened, I remember this very vividly. Is And we talked about this, and we said we give each other permission. And Linda, you know, we were, and I was raising my voice, and she says, "Rich, this is not going to go in a good place. We need to stop." I said, mm-hmm. "We're going to stay here and get this resolved." and she said, "I think that's the issue right there. No, we're not. You know, and we know it's not going to go in a good place. Would you please, let's separate. Get your heart right. I'll get my heart right, and we'll come back." And okay,
yeah.
And so we would practice this, and when we came back, it was a real simple question: are we okay to talk?
Mm-hmm.
And that means, can I talk to you with honor and respect, knowing that we have this kind of this deep opposition, but can we do it? And we would, sometimes we'd say, you know, not yet. Okay.
Right.
Go back and process more with God until we can.
Can I highlight real quick? Yeah. I just interject when you're talking about the going back and getting your heart right. So important to reemphasize to everyone, that's not a go reform your argument to make it better. Right? Which we can tend to want to do, but it is literally a going before God and asking him to reveal what's in your heart that needs to be changed, renewed, refreshed, that you need to see things in another way. All of these things, it's a surrendering and a yielding your heart to God for him to do the work that's necessary in you to be able to go back and have the conversation, right?
That's right. And the question, and we had to switch the question. That's exactly what you said, is that it's not, how do I argue better?
Right.
And I'll do it. I'll try to do it nicely. Mm-hmm.
If I tack a please onto this comment, yeah, does it help?
Yeah. Yeah. It really had to change to Father. Right now, this is about me and my heart. Why am I overreacting? Mm-hmm. What's going on in me? What button has been pushed here?
Yes.
And can you help me process that? Give me the ability to have pure forgiveness, to release that burden so that I can talk with honor and respect. Mm-hmm. And then I would process it. God would speak to me. He would show me. And I recognized, and Linda did too, is that because remember when you're in the middle of a argument, you're thinking why I need to win my position.
Mm-hmm.
When you go there into the quietness of before God, it completely shifts from the argument to, no, Rich, this is about you.
Right.
This is about your heart. Forget about the argument for the moment. Rich, you and I got to work with your heart. Your heart is the issue that I want to get to learn operate with honor and respect. Okay. I'm willing to, and then you do, and then you go back and say, "Are we okay to talk?" And we say, "Yep, we can." And then you start, mm-hmm. and if it rises up again, whoop! I guess we're not.
mm-hmm.
You know, let's go ahead and go back, mm-hmm. and then we practice that, and when we did, it got to be where we could process with honor and respect. And right. we're going to go through the steps here of how you go to reconciliation, how you talk about it, but we could do it. And it starts with, and read verses, you know, just 25 and 26 again.
Sure. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath."
Right. So what we said is, okay, let's learn to speak truth. And the word there mm-hmm. isn't, speak the truth of Scripture.
Not a capital T truth.
No, it's not speak theological truth. It's speak your truth as you know it today. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean I know the full truth. And God will guide me into his truth, which we both have to get to. But all we can do is say, here's what I think, feel, and believe about this. So what we do mm-hmm. is, okay, we got an issue, or you hurt me, or I hurt you, I'm opposing you on this. So let's go back a step. Instead of talking about solution first, which, mm-hmm. by the way, is where the debate tends to go, is let's talk about the issue that we're dealing with, which could be, you know, mm-hmm. hey, Linda could say, Rich, you know, what you did here you know, hurt me, or you, you know, you said you were going to pick me up at 5 and you didn't show up until 6. Mm-hmm. And that really bothered me, you know, and you disrespected me. And, you know, this is what I want you to understand how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to listen. And then she would say, you know, you tell me your truth. I can say, I appreciate what you said. And, I was an hour late because, and even if there was a legitimate reason for it, let's say, mm-hmm. which by the way, there usually isn't. but the one mistake for sure I made is I didn't communicate that to her.
Right.
I didn't say, hey, honey, I'm really caught up in something here. And you know, could I get you an Uber, or could I, you know, do something else with it? Or I was underneath it all. I was disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And she has to share that. And then I have to respond to it. And I can say, well, here's my truth about it. And it says, speak the truth to each other, that while you're angry, don't mm-hmm. sin with that anger. And remember, mm. sin goes to attacking, you know, anger, wrath, malice. We're not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. And he says, it's okay to be angry, but the key is, can you, with honor and respect, start the process of talking truth? Because mm-hmm. the truth will get you to the answer if you have a heart to go. And it's important for, you know, Linda to speak her truth, or somebody else who I'm dealing with to speak their truth. And then at the same time, with honor and respect, they have to listen to what I have to say.
Right.
And then we get it on the table. So we'll talk next time about what do we do with that truth, mm-hmm. and how do we process that truth. But the key is to have a heart of honor and respect and be able to talk truth. And by the way, when you talk truth, and it even says there, don't lie to each other. And in the context there, it's saying you're not saying false things. Mm-hmm. When he says don't lie to each other, there he's saying you are lying because you're not speaking up.
Right. Withholding sometimes.
You're withholding just as much and saying, of a deceit. Yeah. You know, whatever. And you're not creating a safety to be able to, hey, I really want to know what you have to think and feel about this. And your role is to truly share what's inside of you, even if it may not be completely, you know, the way that it's supposed to go, but it's true. See, mm-hmm. Well, this is how I feel. This is why I did it. You know, I can say, well, Linda, I got caught up and I did this. And I could have said, I feel that because of it, you should be okay with that. You know, and maybe that's mm-hmm. how I feel. Now, it doesn't mean that's right, see?
Right.
But at least I'm putting it on the table. And then she could say, well, Rich, you know, okay. But I want you to understand something. She said, let's assume all you said was true. You still disrespected me. Why?
Right.
Because you didn't call me. You didn't text me. You didn't tell me I'm going to be late. I'm sitting there for an hour. And I didn't even know, I have any idea what's going on. You know, he said, that's disrespect. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I can say, all right, I got it. Anyway, we'll talk more about it. So Heavenly Father, just thank you for the word that tells us to always go to forgiveness as you forgave us, to be able to talk with kindness and tenderness, and then be able to talk truth so that we could process the truth, which will lead us to reconciliation. And so we pray that we'll understand that and that we'll follow it. And we praise you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. Great conversation today. Looking forward to continuing it. If you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.